1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, by the way, "then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Wherefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Notice verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us just to read this portion of Scripture. Lord, as we study down through here, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to once again fall in love with this great and wonderful doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for coming down, being born of a virgin, laid in swaddling clothes in a manger. Thank you that you lived a perfect life, that you were touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin. Thank you, Lord, that you could have called, as the songwriter said, you could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the earth and set you free. But you went willingly. No man took your life. You gave it. You laid it down for us. You were that great sacrifice. And then, Lord, thank you that 3 days and three nights later, up from the grave, he arose. And Lord, as we focus in on that and all that that means to us and all that that does for us, Lord, not just when we die, but as we live for the Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to embrace this doctrine and to live it out in our lives even today. And Lord, now bless our visitors that are here in a special way. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd watch over them that as they continue to travel. Lord, it's always good to have guests. And I pray that maybe this would just be a quick oasis stop for them and a source of blessing in their life. Be with our members. Be with those that have taken this trip, Lord, to Washington. And Lord, they're still catching up and recuperating, trying to catch up on all the things that were left undone as they went. And then, Lord, for the many requests, especially those that will be facing surgery in the next few days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to just share with you five truths about the resurrection that is presented in the first half of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're plugging along, folks. I think we're going to get to the end of 1 Corinthians. Unless Jesus interrupts this whole thing and raptures us out, that would be okay also. I'm going to try to figure on being done by the end of June. I've asked Pastor Ross to take the month of July, and I've just said, I want you to take the month of July, and I want you to teach on whatever you want to teach, whether you want to teach a series, you want to teach four different lessons, I don't care, but he's going to take the entire month of July and take the Wednesday night Bible study. And so I just wanted to let you know that. I knew you'd be excited about that, and so I want to finish up by June. because and I don't know what he'll cover in 4 weeks. It took him 3 years to get through Jonah, and so he'll probably cover the first three words of Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. I have no idea. And I feel very guilty here. I'm trying to do four chapters in two weeks or in a month, and I don't know how this will go, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me say this first of all. Let me give you five things. Number one, the resurrection is part of the gospel story. That's what's shared here in the opening verses. Don't forget that, by the way. You know, if you're not careful, you'll share the gospel with somebody and never mention the resurrection. You know, it's easy to do that if you're not careful. I remember one time I was witnessing to a little boy, and this is where God kind of brought this to my mind. And I told him how Jesus had died on the cross for him. I told him how that death was to pay for his sins, and I went through all of that. At the end, I wanted him to pray and ask Jesus to save him. And he said, he looked at me and said, ask Jesus to save me. I thought you said he was dead. I just forgot to mention the resurrection in the presentation of the gospel. Leave it to a little child to kind of remind you if you've messed up in that area. Remember this verse, and this will help you as you're going through the Romans Road presentation, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so there in that verse is a good place, as you go through the plan of salvation, a good place to stop and tell the little boy that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, folks, listen to me. This is part of the good news. This is part of the gospel. This is the great doctrine that sets Christianity apart from every other religion, every other belief system. We not only believe in life after death, many of them claim to believe that, but we believe in the one who proved that there was life after death. And so number one, the resurrection is part of the gospel story. Number two, let me give you this. The resurrection was verified by numerous eyewitnesses. The resurrection was verified by numerous eyewitnesses. The list here, beginning down in verse number five, was the list here includes Peter. And then after Jesus Christ's resurrected body appeared to Peter, he appeared to the apostles. Then the Bible says at one time there were 500 brethren that was gathered. And I like this. If you notice in that verse number 6, it says 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. This is really neat that at the time that Paul wrote this, the majority of these 500 were still alive. I mean, it was almost like Paul could say, we can't do this now, but Paul could say, hey, if you don't believe this, let me give you their names. You can go talk to them. They saw him. They were able to touch the nailed prints in his hands. I mean, they handled him. They ate with him. They heard him. And so it was verified by eyewitnesses. And then it says in verse 7, after that he was seen of James and then of the apostles. And of course there's people in here that's not mentioned. For instance, the ladies that were at the tomb are not mentioned in this specific list. The two men that were walking on the Emmaus Road was not mentioned in this specific list. There's much more than is even listed here. But let me say this, folks. The resurrection was verified by numerous eyewitnesses that saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead, that talked with him, that walked with him, that sat and ate with him, that conversed with him, that were taught. You know, you think of Peter and the apostles when they went through a little period of discouragement and they decided, you know what, we're going back to fishing. And it was Jesus, folks, John chapter 1, that is Christ in his resurrected body that is making them fish and bread and calling them in from fishing and calling them back into the ministry. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Those questions were answered by the resurrected, or asked by the resurrected Christ. And so story after story in the Bible, the resurrection and the resurrected Christ seen, and this was verified by eyewitnesses. Let me give you the third thing. Number three, the resurrection. Don't miss this, what I'm going to say next. The resurrection should be vehemently defended. Vehemently defended. Now that's one of the core principle fundamentals of the faith. Somebody comes along and says Jesus didn't raise from the dead. I don't know about you, but I'm dropping my coat and we're going to have a problem right there. That's one of those, I break fellowship with you, brother. God bless you. Because you're not a brother if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And it's interesting, isn't it this? Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Let me just say this, and by the way, I just feel like we have a wonderful church, and I feel like to my knowledge, every member, every person that comes here, they believe in the fundamentals of the faith, but it would be wrong for me as a pastor not to say and to warn our congregation, be careful. Be careful. Because there can be people that begin to attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and next thing you know, they could be quietly, privately. Isn't that interesting? This wasn't how come it's being preached from the pulpit. That's not what it says here. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you? And a lot of times false doctrine does not start in a church from a pulpit. Sometimes it does. Sometimes, boy, a pastoral change will happen and a man will be brought in and the people thought he was rock solid in these things, and next thing you know, he's preaching these things and that needs to be challenged. But a lot of times it happens amongst us. Be very, very, very careful, very cautious. I'm not talking about a brother and sister that may be on some portion of Scripture. Listen, I could take you to portions of Scripture where me and you might have a disagreements on the interpretation of it. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I argue with myself about certain things in the Bible. One day I'll think that it meant that, and the next day I'll go back and say, no, Jerry, you're wrong. I think it means this. But we're talking about the core fundamentals of the faith. Who Jesus was. We're talking about a key element of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, there's some things that are sacred. There's some things that you just cannot and should not mess with. And there were those that were in this congregation that was saying that they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Have you ever talked to somebody that says this to you? Oh, I don't believe in any of that. I think when you die, you know what? They bury you and that's the end of it and you become worm food. I mean, folks, it's unfortunate, but in America, you probably will hear somebody say that on a regular basis if you go out knocking on doors on a regular basis. You're going to run into people that absolutely do not believe in life after death. And if I lived the way some of them did, I wouldn't want to believe in it either. But let me say this. All of us would be doomed to hell if it were not for Jesus Christ and what he did. And so here we are. And so Paul gets this reported that this false doctrine has started. And so he lists seven things here. And again, because of sake of time and us trying to cover what we are tonight, I'm just going to kind of list them to you and look down through here. Look at verse 13. He first of all says, if there be no resurrection. Now remember this, don't get confused here. He's not saying that he believes them. Matter of fact, that's why I adamantly read verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And so, but Paul's saying, okay, let's just suppose for a minute that those who are saying this, that is true, that is accurate, that there is no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. He says that means that there's seven things that automatically become true if there is no resurrection. The first one is this, then Christ is not risen. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then that means Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead. Folks, if he didn't raise from the dead, we're all in a heap of trouble. Number two, verse 14, our preaching is in vain. Hey, if there's no resurrection, folks, forget this. I mean, let's close down Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to go find something else to do. I don't have any good news. I don't have any glorious gospel. I don't have any hope to give to people. Our preaching's in vain. It's empty. And then he said, number three, verse 14, our faith is in vain. You see these things? The importance of the doctrine of the resurrection? Man, all of a sudden someone comes along and says, there's no life after death. There's no resurrection of the dead. Then Christ is not risen. Our preaching is in vain. Number three, our faith is in vain. Number four, the apostles are false witnesses. Verse 15, he said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So he said, guess what? That means James is a false witness. That means Peter out there preaching is a false witness. That means all of those that left the upper room and went out and preached the gospel at Pentecost, 3,000 people believed a lie that day. He said, our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. And everyone that's preaching the resurrection, it becomes a false witness. And then he said this. Boy, this is startling. Look at verse 16 and 17. We are yet in our sins if there is no resurrection. Now, this is why we fight for things. People say, oh, listen, folks, this whole idea of, you know what, and I hear it all the time, and we're just a big target in this community, and I'm sorry, folks, but it isn't going to change. But I'm serious. I can't hardly run into a preacher in town that doesn't want in some way figure out a way to try to remind me that we're isolationists, that we don't... Listen, I'm not a member of the Ministerial Association, and I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be. Sorry. I can't sit down at the table and call people brethren who... I mean, folks, listen to me. I was shocked. I can't remember when this was. But there was a multi-church group effort over in Central Bloomfield, Linton area here, 9 months ago or something like that. 5 churches joined together for this common theme that would run with all of those churches. One of them was a Roman Catholic, and one of them was a Baptist preacher. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but how in the world? Now you're going to get it. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to be called everything in the book. But I cannot join hands with people that say that you work your way to heaven. That's how you get to heaven. You got to work your way to heaven. I cannot sit down at the table with somebody that says salvation is by grace through faith. We believe that, but you also have to be baptized. They are preaching another gospel, which is not another. That's what Paul calls it. It's a false gospel. My Bible says, "Let them be accursed." And I'm supposed to join up with them. I'm supposed to get in. No, I can't do that. And so there's some things that we listen. They're non-negotiable. They're points of fellowship. They're make or break things. Brother, God bless you. No, you're no longer just a brethren that disagrees on a few of the more minor elements of the scriptures that me and you may sit down and discuss, but we can leave it knowing that we both are brothers. You are dealing with the very fabric, the very fiber of Christianity. You're touching the core truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, those things... Are things that we must earnestly contend for. And this is what Paul is doing in this portion of Scripture. I mean, if there's no resurrection, we're all in our sins, folks. We are yet in our sins. Notice verse 18. Here's another one. Those dead loved ones who trusted Christ, they've perished if there's no resurrection. You think about think about the fallout if this false doctrine would have grabbed hold in this church. This is why Paul had to attack it. He had to stand strong against it. Because all of a sudden, you know what? Great-grandma that trusted Christ, her not just by a lip, but her life testified of her faith in Christ. And you know what? 2 months earlier, you had her burial and you were comforted by verses like John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. And you know what? We're comforted to know that our saved loved ones are in heaven and they're being taken care of. And we're going to join them when all of a sudden all that's gone. If there's no resurrection. And then number 7, we are in this life miserable and without hope. Verse 19, if in this life only. I don't know how many of you can say amen there. And it's not that, listen, let's not walk around with the mullah grubs. Let's not act like there's not blessings in this life. But you know what? It is a veil of tears. And there's a lot of heartaches in this life. And the older you get and the closer you get to the finish line, I'm going to tell you what, there's more attractive things on the other side than there are here on this earth. And you get the point where, you know what, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like you get that traveling on feeling going every once in a while where you're just kind of looking around saying, you know what, folks, am I the only one? But I just feel like I don't even belong here anymore. I mean, good's now bad and bad's now good. Everything my grandma and grandpa taught me, the whole world's trashed it now. Things that used to be admirable now are laughed at and mocked. sin is promoted and righteousness is scoffed. And I mean, I feel like I am in some kind of like I just landed in a spaceship and I'm looking around. This is not what happened to this world. This is nuts what's going on. It's nuts what's going on. And, you know, I was talking to one of our members, and we were talking about this just the other day. It's just crazy. You know what, folks? Good, and, you know, that whole thing that Jeremiah condemns, woe unto them that make good evil and evil good. You know, this is the progression. At one time, there was right, and then there was wrong. And then wrong said, we want to be right. Now, we're not against your right, but we want to be counted right also. So some of us surrendered on that. Said, okay, we really believe we're right, but we're not going to call you wrong anymore, and we'll let you be right also. But the only problem is they're never satisfied with that. You see, evil isn't satisfied until good is counted as evil. And there's so many things that we've seen in our culture where at one time this was right and everybody knew it, and this was wrong and everybody knew it. Then in the middle they wanted to be right and right. Now they want to be right and they want to be counted right, and they want to look at biblical standards and biblical beliefs and morality even. Morality now is evil. I mean, young people that are clean are attacked. Modesty is evil. You know, this is insane what we're, and I've gotten off on this, but it's just like, amen. You know what? If in this life only, if this is all there is, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. No, thank God. Let me just say this with Paul. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So number one, the resurrection is part of the gospel. Number two, the resurrection was verified by numerous eyewitnesses. Number three, the resurrection should be vehemently defended, as should all of the core fundamentals of the faith. Folks, listen, we used to be called fighting fundamentalists. We've lost some of our fight. There's things worth fighting for. There's things worth breaking fellowship over. There's things worth standing alone over. Ask our spiritual forefathers. There's things worth going to the lions over. There's things worth dying for. Young men, young ladies, get this in your generation. There are things worth dying for. There are things worth going to jail for as a Christian. There are. We've become such lovers of our own self that, well, you know what? If they're going to outlaw it and they say we can't preach that, then I just think we ought to try to get along. And that's not our heritage. That's not our heritage. Unbelievable. And so we'll move on. Number four, the resurrection defeated our last enemy. The resurrection defeated our last enemy. Now I stopped. So let's read 21 and on down. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. Guess what? We get a benefit from that. We are second. We're the ones that come after him. Then verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, at the resurrection, let me just summarize what we just read. Number one, death came by man's sin, Adam. Okay, that's where death came from. All men die because of the curse of sin. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Now notice it says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let me read to you about that. Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Notice this, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now we're going to get to that. This is the second death. And you read on verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was also cast in the lake of fire. But notice, before he even cast into the lake of fire those who are condemned without Christ, He asked death and hell to deliver up those that are to be judged, which means guess who else is standing at the great white throne judgment? It's just not the lost of all the earth. Death stands there. Hell stands there. And before any of those that are delivered up goes there, God in heaven, our powerful God, cast into the lake of fire death. He cast into the lake of fire hell. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. I like Revelation 21. By the way, verse 15 ends one chapter. Revelation 21, verse 1 says this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Watch it. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." No more death. Where'd it go, preacher? It's in the lake of fire. It's down there with Satan and the Antichrist. Down there with all the lost of all the world. Down there where hell is. You know what? Folks, listen to me. God just kind of swept up all of the stuff that should have never been, dumped it in a dumping hole called the lake of fire, and death is one of the things that went in there. Death is one of the things that went in there. You know what? There's going to be no funeral homes in heaven, praise God. No hospital visits. I don't like hospitals. I don't know about you. I don't like them. I don't. You say, well, we need them. I know we need them sometimes, but I don't have to like them. I spend a lot of time in hospitals. It just comes with the territory. Think of all the different visits and all the different times and all the, you know what? I've never walked in one and said, oh, this is great. Love this place. Man. No, you hear somebody's in the hospital, immediately something just happens in the pit of your stomach. And again, I thank God for the nurses and doctors. God, I thank God for the miracles of the discoveries of some of the helpful drugs. And some of you have lived long enough to see things that at one time would have killed somebody, been a death penalty, a death sentence. And now, thank God, I'm thankful for all of it. But won't it be good to get to heaven one of these days, and you'll get your GPS out, your TomTom or your Garmin out, and you'll go to search, and you know, you'll hit all the buttons with the closest hospital, and you'll hit the hospital button, and it'll say none. It won't take you there because they're in. Well, let me check for funeral homes and none. I'll check for nursing homes and none. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that going to be good? The resurrection defeated our last enemy, death. As I mentioned the other day, my dad used to always talk about, death, where is thy sting? All death can do is buzz. It's lost its stinger. You say, preacher, we may still have to face it. Yeah, I know the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death is still there. But you know what? We don't have to fear any evil. And the Bible says, death, where is thy sting? Great, where is thy victory? You know, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. So the resurrection defeated our last enemy. And then let me give you this last thought, and then we'll go to the house. The resurrection power. Listen, folks, don't miss this. Say, preacher, that's all good. That's great. I'm glad that there's a resurrection, and we can rejoice in that. But that's all way ahead for me. How's the resurrection? What's the resurrection do for me now? The resurrection power should be activated in the life of every believer now. See, the resurrection is just not to benefit you one of these days when you die. The resurrection power can be activated in your life right now. I'm going to have you look at a couple of portions of Scripture. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I want you to see this. So turn there and we'll go to verse number 1. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. You know, Paul said here, and I'll go back and read in 1 Corinthians 15 while you're turning there, verse 13. He said, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." And then a few verses down, he said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." The resurrection of Jesus Christ can be realized, and the power of it can be realized every day of our life. Do you think? You think about what Paul said there. You know what he said? Why would he make a statement like this? I say, okay, kids, I want to help you tomorrow, so I want you to teach you how to work off of a to-do list. That way you can accomplish some things. Have a plan for tomorrow. Okay, preacher, I got my piece of paper out. I'm going to come up with a to-do list. Yes, yes, you need a to-do list for tomorrow. Okay, what's the first thing on my to-do list? Die. It's going to be a little hard, preacher, to get much else done on that to-do list. No, it's going to be a lot easier. I promise you, it's going to be a lot easier. I preached a message. I'm not sure if it was one of those that I preached because of the Holy Spirit or I preached out of frustration one time. But I literally preached this to a congregation. Why don't you all just die? It's a little disturbing when you announce tonight I'm going to preach on why don't you all just die? But that's the great secret to the Christian life. Why would Paul make a statement like that? Preacher, I die daily? Hey, why is that not a bad thing? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, folks, listen. You can't get resurrected till you die. You can't get resurrected till you die. And see, so many of us are just glad there's a resurrection because all we think of is the physical realm. We just think about when our body's going to need that. But our spirit, our spiritual life, we need this every single day of our life. So one man said this. He said, you know what, every morning when I wake up, he said, well, first things I do is I just turn my bed into an altar. And I just lay there as if I've laid my body on the altar. And I present my body a living sacrifice. I die so that I can live for Christ. Now, blame everybody you want to blame. But one of these days, as the prodigal, you're going to have to come to yourself. You know, the prodigal quit being a prodigal when he came to himself. And you can blame everybody you want to blame. Oh, brother, I'd live for God except for, oh, baloney. The person that's keeping you from living for God's you. The person that's keeping you from, no, you're not going to point at somebody else in this church and put that on them. That's a bunch of baloney. There's nobody that can make me live for Christ and nobody can keep me from living for Christ except Jerry Ross. And if you would learn to die to self, well, someone hurt my feelings. You know, you can't hurt the feelings of a dead man. Now, don't do this, but if you wanted to, you could go down there and knock on the door and ask Stuart here at McClanahan Lee, say, hey, you got any corpses in here? Well, I just want to try something. And you go over and you open the case and you just cuss that guy and you yell at that guy and you call him every name of the book. You know what? He didn't get his feelings hurt. No, I'm helping some of you right now if you let me. I'm helping some of you right now if you let me. You know, the problem is you don't want to die. But because you don't want to die, you're never going to know what it is to live in the power of the resurrection. Now notice what it says here in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why do I die daily? So that I can live in newness of life? So I can live in the power of the resurrection. I got to show you this. Flip on over to Philippians. Some of you are thinking about these verses anyway. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's just end on this. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 7. You talk about, I'm telling you, if I could get every single one of you that are struggling in your Christian life to just go home and really give Philippians chapter 3 justice in your life. I mean, verse by verse, phrase by phrase, word by word, activate the truths of this. You know what? You'd never be the same again. Well, I used to get my feelings hurt a lot when I insisted on living. I used to get offended a lot when I insisted on living. I used to lose my temper a lot when I insisted on living. You know, I was gonna run and carry the Jerry Ross banner. Anybody spit on that banner, then you know what? Why don't you burn your banner and raise the banner of Christ? Now get this. Just let it sink in. Take it home. Think about it. Let the Holy Spirit do something in your life. Because boy, this is true. Philippians 3 verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That's where you take all your dreams, all your hopes, all your desires, all your wants, all your likes and dislikes, and you put them on an altar and you say, you know what, these would have been gained to me, Jerry Ross, but I am counting them as loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Notice this, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. All that stuff, you know what it is? It's just waste. That's how I'm going to start viewing it. Who cares? Who cares? Notice this. What's the result of that, winning Christ? What's the result of that? And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Preacher, why go through this process? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. That's talking about dying to self, being raised to walk in newness of life. All of a sudden, you know what? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. Hey, let everybody say whatever they want to about Jesus Christ. Or about Jerry Ross, as long as Jesus Christ is glorified, as long as He's lifted up. Hey, I don't care if nobody remembers my name. And I hate to disappoint you folks, but a generation after your death, there ain't going to be a handful of people in this world that even could tell who you were. Sorry, you're not Abe Lincoln. You're not going to get a memorial. One of our girls asked my daughter on this trip, Tabitha, she said, what did he do? Why does he get this big thing? Why doesn't every president get this? I don't know, you know. But I can tell you this, you're probably not getting it. I'm not. You know what? Why would you want it? See, that's our problem. We want a memorial. We want a statue. We want 5 or 6 books written about the greatness of our lives. Yeah, you do. Or you wouldn't get upset every time your name don't get mentioned. Yeah, you do. Or you wouldn't get your feelings hurt every time somebody says something that's just not quite settling right on you. Die! Die! Die to self. I mean it, folks. I mean, I get the point. You know, you think you're the only one that's ever had somebody say something bad to you. Good. Now, I collect those kind of statements. I got a drawer full of them in there. I get some of the sweetest notes in the world. I also get some of the meanest notes in the world. I get nice comments sent to us through our website. I get mean comments sent to us. I mean, I'm on the radio station down there at Evansville. There's a competing Christian radio station that the guy has a talk show, and he got on and warned everybody not to listen to the other radio station because Jerry Ross is on there and he's a heretic. No, call Gail Ross. You know. Folks, to me, that's funny. I'm serious. To some of you, you'd be in a psych ward. Well, all of Evansville thinks I don't care. To me, that's victory. Preacher, don't you have high blood pressure? No, I'd rather give high blood pressure than have high blood pressure. What? I don't care. So-and-so don't like you. Oh, my. I guess I'll quit the ministry. They don't like me. What are you doing? Is it you or is it Christ? Is it about you or is it about Jesus Christ? Is it about lifting you up or is it about lifting Him up? You know, I like old John the Baptist, man. They heard about him preaching out there. Someone said, go find out who that guy is. They said, who are you? Are you the Messiah? No, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes of the Messiah. Well, who are you? They want to know. What's your name? You just tell them I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. He never said, behold John the Baptist. Never said that. You won't find that anywhere where he quoted anything like that. By the way, you think about John the Baptist, how key his ministry was. And then think about how his life was ended. Here he is. Watch this. You can get upset about this or not, but you better figure out who you are and what you are. But he's wiling away in a jail cell, and Jesus doesn't even go visit him. Sorry, he didn't. Finally, John sends somebody to Jesus, said, "Yeah, I'm starting to have second thoughts. Are you the Messiah? Was I wrong?" He said, "You tell John what you see. You tell him what's happening out here." There came a day when somebody came to the prison door because somebody threw a party. And there was booze there, and there was dancing there. Herodias sent his daughter out there, dressed immodestly, strutting around. Bunch of drunk old men. "Oh, that was wonderful. You can have anything you want, up to half the kingdom." And her wicked mother already told her, "Once you dance your way into their lusts, and if they give you favor, you ask for the head of John the Baptist." Now you think about this. That means all of a sudden a door rattled of a prison cell. The one that Jesus called the greatest prophet that ever lived was drug out, slammed down on a chunk of wood, and an axe was taken, his head was severed, put on a platter, carried into a drunken banquet, and handed to Herodias. And you know what? Watch this. John didn't care. Because it wasn't about John. I want that to sink in deep. "Well, that's not fair. God wasn't very good to him." What are you talking about? What are you talking about? God gave him the opportunity to introduce Jesus Christ. And when his ministry was done, God took him to heaven. You know what? We're not preaching the gospel of John the Baptist. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It always cracks me up when I hear, here's what happens. These young people at some point, or some of you at some point, will get broken over a sermon or broken over a truth, and you'll come to the altar, "Oh God, I just want you to use me. I just want you to use me." So I'll put you in give you some jobs around here, and then 6 weeks later you come to my office and say, "I just feel like I'm being used." Yeah. Folks, I get used every day of my life. Thank God for the opportunity. What do you think this is? And if you're waiting for the horse to be brought out, and you put on the horse and led through town, and somebody leads you and call out your name and have everybody bow down, that's not in any job description we have around here. Die to self. You could do it. You can do it. Die to self. Die to self. That's what the resurrection... See, why die to self? Because you will never know what it is to live in the power of the resurrection till you die to self. And all of a sudden, you then, by Christ's Spirit, are raised to walk in a newness of life, a new way of thinking, a new way of functioning. You know what? All the little petty stuff, all of a sudden, doesn't matter a hoot to you anymore. I don't care. Folks, I don't know. We need to start one. When I was in high school, did they still have a drama club? They had a drama club at Shackamack when I was in high school. Drama club. You could join drama club. You know, some of you need to quit drama club. Because I didn't start it. You started your own little chapter here in our church, but it's not sanctioned by the pastor. I'm tired. Listen, I ain't buying any more tickets to it. I've seen as many performances as I need to see. And by the way, everybody else in the church needs to just cancel your season pass. I don't do drama. Some of you little drama queens. I'm not talking about the teenagers either. I'm talking about some women in this church are drama queens. If you don't have something going, you aren't putting on a performance, and good night. If I get you to talk as much to God as you do on your cell phone, we could have a revival. Let me just suggest to some of you husbands, take the crown away from your little drama queen. Tell her, in this house, let's just die to self. I don't want to hear any more about it. Die to self. Woman, I can't help you in this area. You've got to learn to die to self. Now I'm going to go in the bedroom. I'm going to pray that you die. teenagers come home. You're not going to believe. Hey, shut up. Why don't you just die to self? I'm going to go in my room and pray that you die. Because you're never going to learn to live till you die. Oh, I know I'm having some fun here, but I'm telling you, we're right here walking on holy ground right now. I just take my shoes off for a minute here, okay? Because we're going to walk around some... Well, that foot looks funny right there. We're doing it. We're walking on some holy... The old Holy Spirit's trying to put his finger right on a bunch of... and just fix a bunch of stuff right here. And some of you are wrestling to death because you know what? You're fighting for your life because you want to live. But there's a lot more that could be done by a bunch of spiritual corpses here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that can ever be done by a bunch of people demanding that they live. That they live. Your preacher wants to help you tonight. I pray that you'll let me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time we've been allowed to spend just studying the Bible tonight. Thank you for the guests we have. And Lord, for the ones you brought back safe from the trip. Lord, we love you. We don't love you as we ought to. And Lord, thank you for defeating death. Thank you that we can go back to Revelations chapter 20 and 21 and we can just, good night, we can clap our hands and say, there it goes, there it goes. No more death. Where'd it go, preacher? Went right down to the lake of fire with the devil, Antichrist. That's where hell went. That's where all unbelievers went. It's done. Doors sealed forever, gone. New heaven, new earth, new beginning. No more sin, no more death, no more tears, no more heartache. Jesus, that never would have happened except that up from the grave he arose. That never would have happened except that the stone was rolled away and the Savior came out triumphant. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, I pray that we'd just learn, just touch the hem of the garment, just get a little taste of the power of the resurrection. Help us, Lord. I would... pray, dear God, that maybe someone who's very skeptical and maybe just a little hurt over what I said tonight, I pray, Lord, they'd work through that. And by the time they get up tomorrow morning, they would say, I am going to live one day dead. God, I'm going to make my bed an altar. I pray, God, they'd cry out their name and say, no more, gone, gone, no more. Gone. All is Christ. 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 Lord, I just can't help but believe that if a really, truly born-again believer just had a little taste of the power of the resurrection, they'd never want to go back to the petty life. They'd never want to go back to the me, me, me life. Lord, there's nothing like living in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Newness of life. What a wonderful phrase. That's what it is. It's newness of life. Newness of life. What a way to live. Give us that, Lord. Give us that. Give us that tomorrow. If we would unleash upon the workplaces and the community, Lord, the people in this room, for one day, just for tomorrow, for one day, every person, the sound of my voice, from the littlest child that can comprehend what I'm saying to the oldest senior saint, if every single one of us would go out, Lord, into this community, in our workaday world, in our interactions with others, truly living in the power of the resurrection, Lord, I think supernatural things would happen. I think eternal things would happen. I think we'd be able to hear the Spirit whisper. I think we'd be able to see some divine appointments happen. Lord, I think we would experience a level of joy that we've maybe never experienced for weeks and months and for some maybe even years. Give us that. Give us that gift, please. We pray in Jesus' name.